We want a spiritual rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want God to shine. Hallelujah. Oh.
Lord. Can we say one Lord? Come on, can we say one Lord? One faith, one baptism. Scripture says one God, and Father of all, and we love all, through all the moment, and it's part of here, and you all, can we say praise the Lord? Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he is redeemed out of the hands of the enemies. Amen. And we just bless the Lord today, and I listen to the testimonies. You know, the devil's angry. Hallelujah. But he can't hold back what God is doing. He can try to distract. He can try to disrupt. He can try to interrupt. Hallelujah. But in the end, God has the final say. And we just thank God for that. Amen. And don't look at the problem. Hallelujah. But look at the problem solver. Don't look at the winds of the Lord. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Can we say keep our eyes on Jesus? Amen. We're going to ask you to stand, amen, today. And we bless the Lord. We thank the Lord for this being the Lord's Supper. And for God being God. Amen. Jesus said, no man take my life. He said, no, I live now. He said, but God gave the commandment. Not only do I have power to live now, but I have power to take it back up. Hallelujah. So I'm so glad that he didn't stay there. If he stayed there, we wouldn't have a right to the tree of life. So we thank God today that he didn't stay there. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just to start off, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And then we're going to incorporate more of the scripture. Amen. Today might not be one of those fiery messages, but today we just want to get an understanding. Amen. The Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing. We ought to get wisdom. And in all thy getting, we need to get an understanding. And prior to that, he said, why do we need an understanding? Because the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect. So we bless the Lord for that. Amen. Do we all have it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1. We'll conclude with verse 5, and we will go into more of the scripture today. Amen? He said, Paul writes, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not, we're going to read together. All right, I'm going to give you a chance to get it. My wife did a responsible reading last week. We just read together. All right? All right, do we have it? Amen. If you don't have it, it's where? Let's read. Amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Once again, and my speech was not with the enticing, my faith and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon for your word. Lord, we thank you for keeping us from seen as well as unseen dangers. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, for being a shield all around us. Now, Lord, on this afternoon, we ask you to speak. Lord, speak to every situation. Lord, speak to every need. Lord, send your word to heal. Lord, send your word to deliver. And send your word to set free. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Somebody say there's no God like our God. How do you know that God is a personal God? No God like our God. You know, Friday evening, we went over something on Friday evening, and we were dealing with how the church needs to try to set things in order. Amen. Remember when the Lord told Hezekiah, he said, set your house. Set the house in order. How many need the house to be in order? Lord, I just want to be right. That's what it means, just be right. Forget all the foolishness, the insignificant things that don't mean anything, but I just want to be right. So he said, set your house in order. So on Friday evening, we went over setting our house in order. And the number one way that we set our house in order is have some discipline in our lives. Amen. Discipline in our lives. The scripture we went over on Friday was Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28 said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken, like a city that's broken down without walls. If you don't have rule over your own spirit, that means you have to have some self-control. Amen. And as we were, as I was preparing this message, like I said, preachers are good because I got so many messages, I don't even know where we're going to start at. Right. Amen. And that's why I say, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But I'm going to give you the title of the message before we start so it can marinate in your spirit. Everybody want to marinate? Just meditate on it, think about it. It's a very simple message. You keep missing. That's it. You keep missing. You know, and as I was preparing this morning, and I said, well, you wonder sometimes, how do we get to a certain point, and then all of a sudden we miss it? You know, God is moving all around us. God's Spirit is working, and then we miss it. Amen. First one of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we're going to hold Romans chapter 8, Matthew chapter 26, and St. John's chapter 6. Amen. Paul said, my brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. All right, remember wisdom, because he's not talking about the wisdom of God, which we went over not too long ago, but he's talking about the wisdom of man or the wisdom of the world. He said, I didn't come with that when I gave you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save. Anybody just want to just know Jesus? Amen. If Jesus is first, everything else will follow in order. But when we're out of order, when Jesus is not first, then we have calamities, we have problems. Amen. The scriptures say, he that often reproved, if he harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And what are you talking about? You keep missing it. Amen. God reproves me. God is correcting. God is trying to redirect our ways, but we keep missing it. Yeah, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in. You know what Paul said? He said, I had the same temptations you had. Amen. I wasn't so super spiritual. The same thing that you went through, Paul said, I went through it also. Amen. He said, but my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. We got to let it go. Was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Don't bother me. Yeah, you just we don't want to know but Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? Everything else is just a distraction, so don't worry about the distraction. Just keep our eyes on Jesus. He said, now it's important for you to realize, in order for you to get it, or in order for you to understand it, that it's not the enticing words of man's wisdom. Because man's wisdom will not lead you to God. Man's wisdom will always lead you away from God. Amen. So Paul said, I was determined. Even though I couldn't understand everything that was taking place, I was not going to get caught with the enticing. You know, when you listen to the wisdom, sometimes, oh, that sounds so good. Yes, that's enticing. But that's not what God means. Amen. And we'll keep going on. We'll explain it a little further. But in demonstration of the wisdom can't do anything like God's spirit and power. Paul says, I didn't get caught up with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and power. Well, why did you do that? That your faith should not stand in the... When your faith is in the wisdom of man, you will keep missing it. Because when you look at it through the wisdom of man, when you look at it in the natural eyes, you look all right. But in the spiritual eyes, there are some things that are lacking. But in the what? Power. What are we talking about? Your faith should not stand in the wisdom. Somebody say, well, what is wisdom? Can we give you some examples of how we keep missing it? You ever tell me? Go ahead. Thank you. Anybody living in a time of economic challenges? Can we get some witnesses? Finances challenging you all around? Well, the wisdom of man says this: I can't pay my tithes and get no offering. I can't make it by myself. Ouch. Ain't nobody say amen, so it must be ouch, right? The wisdom of man said he can't afford that. God understand. The power of God said, I'm going to pay him anyway. Because God has made me a promise that if I give to God, that he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. So the wisdom of man says, hey, God understand it. The power of God said, give God what he owe, what you owe him. The wisdom of man said, when I look at it, I'm already $200 or $300 short this week. I can't give God what he deserves. So in Malachi said, well, will a man, the wisdom of man will always rob God. Lord, with the power of God, I said, hey, God made a way for me. So I gotta be faithful. Let me go into some areas where we can get more amens. When it's up messing with money, people get quiet. When we just talk about the wisdom of man, how when you look at it with the wisdom of man, that happened to me over and over again. You keep missing it. You keep missing it. Because you said, I purpose in God. I'll never do this again. Then the same situation arises. And the wisdom of man said, I'm short. So if I gotta cut anything, why don't I cut the only one that sustains and keep me? Why don't I cut God out? Right? You keep missing it. Because when you give to God, God, how do you know that God cannot lie? Titus 1:2. And then if you go to Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it's around 13, it says, God will not lie. He said that if you give to God, if you bring the first fruit of thine increase, he said, I will rebuke the devourer. Guess what? Whether you do it or not, the devourer is here. He's going to come to devour. But when you do it according to the power of God, he'll rebuke that devourer. Amen. Let's go to another area. Have y'all seen it? We're talking about you keep missing it. You keep saying, you know what, I learned my lesson. But when the test come up, I have the same reaction when I fail because my faith is standing in the wisdom of man. But it's not standing in the power of God. So Paul said, my speech, my preaching, I couldn't get caught up in the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man said, that brother, that sister wronged me so bad, wait till I get a chance to get them back. I know, man, you ain't gonna say too much, but I heard this preacher say, he said, when they got quiet, he said, preach, master, preach. I'm saying, how do we keep missing it spiritually? How do we keep coming up short spiritually? Because we are looking through the wrong eyes. Amen. Let's keep going. I'm going to read almost all of this chapter. Amen. Next word. He said, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are, this means spiritually mature. They've grown. They've experienced some things. That their tribulation were patience. Patience made hope. And hope, experience and the spirit works of hope. They've learned to learn to lean and depend on Jesus. So in my perfection, I know that God never fails. I know that man may fail, but God has made me a promise that I'm with you always, even. But I keep missing it, because when they act up, I act up. Can I get an amen? Amen. Spiritual perfection or maturity means, you know what? I've gone through this so many times. And when I look back, God has always worked it out. Anybody know God never fails? People fail, but God never fails. God is faithful. And the scripture says he'll never allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he allows the test to come to see how you finally got it, or will you keep missing it? So God said, yeah, you said it, but talk is cheap. God said, I'm going to put you to the test to see if you really mean it. Amen? Yet not the wisdom. And he said, I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world now. We talk about the wisdom of who? God. Because the wisdom of the world says, you got to take care of yourself. The wisdom of God says, I just lean on Jesus. Because his grace is sufficient. Then in my weakness, I shall be made strong. When I don't know how to fix it, when I lean on Jesus, he will fix it. The wisdom of the world says, you got to help yourself. You know, as I was growing up, people used to always say, listen, you can't just depend on everything. You got to help yourself, not when it comes to God. You depend on God, amen? See? Now, the wisdom of the world says this, nor are the princes of this world that come to, the wisdom of the world comes to naught, right? Keep going. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a hidden wisdom. Amen. But God, if you read about it, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 2 and around verse 9, it says, God has revealed these hidden mysteries to the church as long as the church is obedient. So in order to get the wisdom, we must stay obedient, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes, we're talking about wisdom. The wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. Now, when you're face in the wisdom of man, you would have crucified the Lord. This is what, listen, he said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the, well, why did they crucify them? Because their faith was standing in them. And the wisdom of man, when I look at it, just didn't make sense. When I look at it, it didn't add up. So, in essence, Paul said, if you start walking according to the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of man, every time you get the chance to, you're going to hurt the Lord. Because you're not walking in the power of God, but you're walking in the wisdom. So, every time you should have passed a test, you keep missing it. Why? The wrong attention. The wrong focus. Looking at the wrong thing. Amen. Let's keep going. But we all know this, I have seen, ear hasn't heard. Keep going to the next verse. But God has revealed them unto us by God's Spirit. It's so important. That's why if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's hard to know how to go. It's hard to have direction, because God reveals them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches. The Spirit of God is constantly, you know, say, this situation is, Now, even though the judge, the doctor, everybody says it's going to work this way, God said, I think I'm going to work, I'm going to do it this way. Because that's the wisdom of man. But the wisdom of God said, yeah, they diagnosed you with this incurable disease, but look what God has done. Because your faith did not stand, because the doctor was limited. Right? They couldn't fix it. But God says, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am God, your healer. So I don't want you to trust in the wisdom of man. It's time right now. understanding the power of God. And then in the power of God, I won't keep missing it. I got it because I got it just like the Bible says. Amen. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the what? Anybody want to get somewhere deep down with God? You're not going to understand God with the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of man, but the deep things are revealed unto us by his Spirit. Let's keep going. For what man knoweth the things of man, saying, in everyday English, it says, as long as you keep looking at it with your wisdom, you're only going to understand it with your understanding. Right? There's some situations that our wisdom just cannot understand, cannot fix. It can't. Our wisdom will understand, how do I get baptized in Jesus' name and call up a new creature? Our wisdom can't explain how I can be filled with the Spirit and speak in another tongue. It's wisdom of this world don't explain that. That's the wisdom of who? God. It says, say the Spirit of man is. So man knows everything about man, but the only thing to know about God is God. So when your faith is standing in the wisdom of man, you limit God. When your faith stands in the wisdom of man, you limit God. But when your faith stands in the power of God, then he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But when, that's when your faith is in the right. Today, where is our faith? Is it in the wisdom of man, or is it in the power of God? Even so, the things of God know no man but the what? The Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of. What Spirit directs us? What Spirit ordains ourselves? Somebody said, well, how do you keep missing? You're not walking in the right Spirit. And because you walk in the Spirit of the world, then you go in error, because the Spirit of the world cannot understand God. You know, you ever try to counsel people and you're trying to help them? He's like, oh, how can they get it? Why can't they get it? Because they're not walking in the power of God. Amen? That we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words. We're talking about church, right? We're speaking about the thing, not in the wisdom which man's words teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing. So when I don't understand it, I just go find somebody in the Bible. I found a testimony of somebody who's already gone through, because I'm not going to compare with things that are impossible, but I'm going to compare with God, because with God there is nothing impossible. So in my comparison, I just go to some spiritual stuff. Because I want to stand in the path, but when I don't go to spiritual stuff to try to understand it, I keep missing it. Because I'm walking according to the wisdom of this world and not the wisdom of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. But how many calls a natural man as a spiritual man? But the natural man, so how do I keep missing it? What's governing our lives? Is it the natural man, or is it the what? Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the
Spirit of God.
Because when I get there, you want me to pay my tithes and offering and I don't even have enough money to eat? That's foolish. The Bible says, please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that God took the foolish things of God to confound the wise. God took the mighty things of God to confound and baffle the strong in this world. What? We're talking about the wisdom that comes from God. Can I get an amen? For they are foolishness unto him. How? Neither can he know them, because they are. So the natural, go back for a second. But the natural man can't receive it. How do I keep missing it? Because you won't stay in the Spirit. You keep going in the. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. How do I keep missing it? How do I purpose and I plan to do the right thing? Because you won't stay spiritual. then when I get in the natural, I cannot receive the things that are God. And you know what he said? He said, these things you don't even have to work for. They give to you how? God will give you these things freely if you stay in God. If he'll give them to you freely, it don't cost you nothing. So there is therefore now no condemnation in the what? But the scripture does not end there. Amen? That's not where it ends. We quote it, yeah, there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. But them that do what? Walk? They walk not carnally, they walk not naturally, but they walk in the spirit. Then there is no. Well, how do I keep listening? How do you walk? Are we walking in the spirit? Are we walking in the flesh? Are we walking spiritually? Are we walking carnally? Amen. When we make an assessment of God, do we do it through our eyes or do we do it through the Spirit? Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us
free from the law of sin.
When you go out, there ain't no law against you. The Bible says against us there is no law. When you stay in God like you ought to, I don't care what anybody or anything says, when you ain't God, there is. Because it makes us free. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law, anybody want to be right? Your faith cannot stand in the wisdom of man. You got to be in the. Well, wisdom says, Now, can I melt? I'll melt to me. Man, let me see. I can't give some examples because I don't know nobody they think I'm talking. Let me get can I get a neutral example? Let's get a neutral example. I want to go buy this plane. Everybody bought the planes. Right? We talk about the wisdom of man now and the power of God, right? We talk about walking in the spirit and not walking in the flesh. I gotta buy this plane, but they said in order for me to buy this plane, my income has to be at least $500,000. But I'm only really making $50,000. So the wisdom of man says to me, I have to inflate my salary. Y'all with me? I said, oh, you went too far. Yeah, I have to inflate my salary because if I do it man's way, I can't make it. The wisdom of God said, just go in and tell the truth. And let God make a way out of no way. If you just stand on God's word, if it's meant for you, there's not a demon in hell that can stop it. But me and wisdom said, I gotta inflate this situation. And when you inflate situations and stretch them, the Bible says that's a lie. Right? And then Revelation says all lies have their part in the fire. So I'm inflating my situation so I look good for the world. But how does God see us? We're standing in the wisdom of man and we're denying the power of God. God can do anything. God can make any way. But can we be truthful? Can we just be honest? It is what it is. Don't inflate it. Don't change it. Just let God be true. And let every man. Didn't the Bible say that? But when you stand in the wisdom of man, you begin to connive. You inflate. You deflate. You change your situation to fit the situation because who are you trusting in? Paul said, I couldn't go standing in the wisdom of man because when I stand in the wisdom of man, I change stuff to fit the situation and I leave God out. So I have to stand in the power of God because God can make a way when there is
no way.
Can we use this? This is a vivid illustration. We all understand this. When Israel got to the Red Sea, wisdom couldn't figure out how to get all those millions of people across that water. Right? A lot of us have come to the Red Sea, but we keep trying to figure out what God. Lord, what are we going to do? He said, just be still. It's time for the church to be still and know that I'm God. He told Moses, he said, just stand still. If your faith is in the power of God, stand still and you'll see the salvation. Hallelujah. But when you're in the wisdom of man, you got to go try to build a bridge and get some boats to get these people across, right? God said, well, wouldn't it just be easier for you to trust in me? That's unlimited in power, unlimited in might, unlimited in, I can do anything. But we go back to man's wisdom because we can't figure out what God is trying to do. So God said, you keep missing it. Because when you finally get it, you're going to say, you know what, whether I choose to be honest or dishonest, ultimately God has the final say in everything. So there are times when man can say no, but God says yes. There are times the doctor said it can't be done. God said, but you didn't check with me. I'm the doctor of doctors. I'm a great physician. And I can do anything. Somebody said, well, don't you know I ain't make with like $10,000 a year. I heard something say God's our father, and that all the cattle and gold and the fountain hills belongs to him. Because they belong to him and we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, whatever he get, we get. So I don't trust in man. I don't go by what I got. I go by what God got. The whole world belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and God. Everything in the world belongs to God. Why you fret? Why are you standing in man's wisdom and limiting God? It's time to let God be God. Amen. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk. I'm not messing with trying to figure out what God, you know, flesh always try. Listen, his ways are past. You can't figure out what God has to do. So I'm not going to stand and try to figure out what God has to do. I'm not going to keep standing in the flesh right now. I'm going to just get in the spirit and let God have his way. Amen? Next verse reads. And then we're going to go, I'm going to take you a whole lot longer. For they that are after God. Well, why do you keep going back? The reason you keep missing it, because you keep going back to the flesh. And because you're in the flesh, you don't understand spiritually what God is trying to show you. You don't understand the doors that God had opened. You went right and God had opened all the doors to the left because you were in the flesh. And God had opened so many doors, but you missed the doors because you wouldn't follow God. But they that are after the flesh do mind the things, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally, when you talk about man's will, you're going toward death and destruction. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is? Somebody say, I don't have no peace. My life is falling apart. Are you spiritually minded or are you carnally minded? Because to be spiritually minded is, even in the midst of the storm, I'm Jesus and I can stay sleeping. Because I heard him say, God does not intend for his dearly beloved to stay up late at night and to eat the bread of affliction, because he gives his children sleep. I'm in the spirit. I can't get in that flesh. Amen. Because. Why do I keep missing it? Because. The carnal mind is the enemy. You keep missing it because you won't stay spiritual. You keep missing it because things are going right for a little while and you get excited, but you stop praying. You stop being spiritual. You stop reading your Bible. So what do? You go back and become carnal. Well, that carnal mind is the. Well, how do you keep missing it? You keep going carnal. You won't stay in God like you are. You won't let God make a way out of no way. You just want to fix everything yourself because you've always been in charge. I'm going to tell you something. In Christ, Jesus has to be number one. You have to surrender your will to his will. Every time you fight God, you will lose, because to fight God means you are carnal, and that is a what? enmity with God, for it is not that carnal mind, that wisdom of this world is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they, how do you keep missing it? How do I keep, not just miss, but keep missing it? Because they that are in the cannot please. That's why I said, well, what's so big about pleasing God? The Bible says Enoch was translated that he should not. What's so big about that? The Bible says it's appointed unto all men to what? But Enoch, hallelujah, did not taste death. Well, why did Enoch taste death? He said they were looking for Enoch, but he could not be found because before his translation, he had this testimony that he. So what did pleasing God do? It means everything that should have been, God stepped in and said, not so. How, when you please God, I don't care what the natural law says, God has all power in his hand. So Enoch did not taste death. To this day, Enoch has never died. They went looking for Enoch like they went looking for Elijah, but they had a testimony. What's your testimony? Hallelujah. Do we please God? Are we walking in the flesh or are we walking in the spirit? Or do we keep missing it? All right, now go to St. John chapter 6, verse 53. St. John 6, verse 53. Now we're talking about missing it. All right, missing it, God is trying to take us one direction, but because we're in the flesh, we keep going the opposite direction. God is trying to show us a spiritual blessing, but we can't see the spiritual because we keep going in the natural. He said, but ye, now go back to St. John 6, 53. Now, this is one of the times when this don't make sense. All right, this ain't going to make sense what we're about to read now. All right, let me just go get it for myself till she get it. All right, John 6, 53. This is one of those times when Jesus gives them a spiritual example or illustration. But once again, they were trying to interpret it with their natural mind. Verse 53 said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. somebody said, wait a minute. Church is cannibals now? Right? Right, the cannibal, the carnal mind said, cannibals? We got to eat a man and drink his blood? Right. But they keep missing it. The reason they keep missing it is because God is on a different spiritual level than your carnal mind. Amen. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath, and I will raise him up at God is talking about a spiritual resurrection. Right, so there's a natural and then there's a spiritual resurrection. But they couldn't get to the spiritual, but they couldn't get past them. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and they keep missing it because God is trying to take them in a spiritual direction. But all they want to do is stay in the flesh. The things of the flesh mind the things of the. But the thing, anybody want to get in the spirit? No wonder Paul, no wonder John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord. Anybody want God to show you something? Then it's time to get in the spirit. Hallelujah. He said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, as your fathers did eat manna and are. He that eateth, we ate that bread this morning, right? He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Hallelujah. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Then we're going to get to where they get messed up real bad. Amen. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is spiritually, I don't understand that. It don't make sense. I don't understand. This is a hard saying. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard when Jesus in himself knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Are you offended? Stay spiritual. Don't you lose your conviction for any, don't you compromise because of anybody else." So now this is a revelation, right? Isn't this a revelation? But they couldn't even understand the revelation for what he was saying because they wouldn't get out of the flesh and get in the, he said, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up?" Three words. Well, how can you be up there where you were and you just a man? They didn't understand spiritually. So they kept missing it. Because they wouldn't open their spiritual eyes, they kept looking at everything through their natural eyes. Amen. He said, "It is the, you want life? You better get in the, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, Lord, I'm tired of being in the flesh. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of not, I'm tired of repeating the same errors of my ways. I'm tired of missing the mark because the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should." When you get in the spirit, when you get in the flesh, you just go opposite of God. To betray God means, you know, as good as God has been to me, in a situation I don't understand, I'd rather let God down than to please God. That's betrayal. I don't really have a commitment to God because when I don't understand it, I'd rather hurt God than to hurt something else. That's betrayal. I'd rather act out and please myself than please God. That's betrayal. I can't forgive them. Are you serious? Do you know what they did to me? I can't do that. That is betrayal. You want me to give my enemy something to drink and something to eat? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, by doing that, you get coals of fire. I can't do that. That is betrayal. Because we're supposed to do whatever God says in obedience to him. Amen? Amen. Therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, why did they go back? Because they kept missing it. They didn't understand because they wouldn't get out of self. They wouldn't allow God. So, in essence, I'm going to ask you a scripture. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. This is going to explain what this betrayal really means. All right? Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 1 says, "Therefore, leave the principle of the doctrines of Christ as a call for perfection, not land again." This and go to verse 4, I think it is, of Hebrews 6. All right, we're going to start at verse 4. So, "For it is impossible for those who were," we're talking about in church, "had the spirit." You're not supposed to betray God. You're not supposed to do what you want to do. Amen. "And have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world." We're talking about betrayal, right? Taste the power. So we've tasted the spirit. We know God. We're all familiar with it. Amen. "Now, if they shall fall away to renew them again," if you betray God, this is what this scripture means. "Sin they," every time we betray God, we crucify him again. Because we won't submit to God. And we keep missing it. They crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to? Why? Because of betrayal. Because when the world look at you, they say, you know what? Ain't nothing to your God. Because you act just like me, but you use his name. Right? Didn't Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Seven women that take one hold to one man, saying, let us eat our own bread. Let us wear our own apparel, but let us just be called by your name." It's time for us to surrender. It's time for, now let's go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm closing here. They kept missing it. Matthew chapter 26, not 6. 26 of Matthew in verse 1. They kept, because God was trying to take them in a spiritual direction. But they kept doing it their way. And in doing it their way, they ultimately had to betray God. Because in order for you not to betray God, you have to walk in obedience. And when you walk in obedience, you walk in your well-pleasing. Right? The scripture didn't just say Enoch was pleasing, but that verse means he was well-pleasing. And beyond everything a man could do, he was well-pleasing. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed and be crucified, right? He's betrayed. We're talking about when you don't walk in obedience, when you don't submit to God, you will always betray him. Amen? Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, what evil had he done? Right? The flesh will always make you want to destroy a godly individual. When you're in your carnal mind, you will destroy, you'll kill. And the Bible said, who came to kill, steal, and to destroy? The devil, right? So we do not want to have that spirit. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon, he was a leper, but God had healed him. Amen? There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now we talk about what they keep what? Missing it. Right? Now let's see what Jesus explains this situation. And when his disciples saw it, they had. She didn't do anything to them. So why were they upset? Because they were walking in the flesh. Amen. And we're going to see in Jesus' explanation that if they had just been spiritual, they would have gotten it. But they missed it because they weren't in the spirit. Amen. And when the disciples saw it, they had. It didn't belong to them. Why are they upset? Did you see? Why you get upset? It ain't had nothing. It's none of your business, right? But you're all upset. To what purpose is that belong to her? She can do with it as she please. Why are they upset? Because they keep missing it. For this ointment might have been sold for much, and Jesus said, you know what? Let me explain to y'all something. You're missing it. You don't understand the significance of what just took place. Amen? When Jesus understood, he said unto them, why are y'all so upset? What's bothering you? Your carnal mind has you all messed up because you have missed the spiritual significance of what's taking place. Amen? For she has won a. Now she won a good word, but they were all mad and angry. They were what? Missing it. Because of their carnal minds. Because of their fleshly mind, they missed it. Amen? He said, for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not. See, you just missed it. You don't understand what happened. You don't understand it. And if you read about it, I believe in Luke chapter 7, he goes more in depth to show you how that when she poured the oil on Jesus, that she washed his feet with her tears and then dried her feet with her hair. And she was so unworthy, she didn't do it in front of him, she did it behind him. Right? Because she was showing how much she honored God, because she was a woman that was a sinner. Hallelujah, but Jesus, hallelujah, cleaned her up. And she appreciated it. And Jesus, I'll come back to this. Jesus told Simon, he said, I came in your house and you didn't wash my feet, you didn't offer me anything. He said, but he that's been forgiven of much, loveth much. But he's been forgiven of little, loveth little. The problem that we have, the reason we don't show God's appreciation, we just forget how much God has forgiven us of. And because we don't understand that we don't love like we ought to love. Amen? For that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it. This was a spiritual indication, but you missed it. Why did you miss it? Because you were looking carnally. And not just were you looking carnally, but you were looking at all the finances as you go to the next part. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached. Early he said, now, they said, hey, can we have sold this for some money? Right? The carnal mind will make you miss the spiritual significance. So you keep missing it because you won't walk in the spirit. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall, this woman, what's the big deal, right? It's a big deal because of Jesus. See what it says right here? There shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a, as we all said, you keep missing it. God is doing a spiritual thing around you, but you're missing because you're in the flesh. And the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the spirit because they are spiritually discerned. So God is doing a mighty work. God is healing, God is delivering, and God is set free, but you keep missing it. Well, how am I missing it? Because you keep getting you, and you won't get in God. It's time as the elders and the ministers and all the workers come forward, it's time for the church to come to the realization, I need to get back in God. I need to be back in the place where I'm not looking by my carnal, natural eyes, but spiritually, I see God. I don't understand it, but I believe. When you don't understand, keep walking by faith. Even though I don't understand, I'm not going to walk in disobedience, because when I walk in disobedience, that means I am betraying the Lord. And if you betray the Lord, you would have been one of those that would have crucified him. It's important today that we stop missing it. We need to just take a few minutes and say, Lord, so much is happening around me. So much is happening in the world. What are you trying to show me? Didn't the Bible say we should work out our own salvation? The reason that so many of us are missing is we work on everybody else's situation. And we keep missing ours. We work on sister, brother, so-and-so. And we all messed up. They're getting it. They're like the woman with the alabaster box. They appreciate it. You look at them and they're, listen, how is everybody mad but Jesus? And she didn't do anything to them. Why? Because they kept missing. It's time for us now to get back into the place of God and say, Lord, I need to take some personal time. I need to take some spiritual time. I need to shut out TV, computer, Facebook, this book, that book, everything else. It's time for me to get some time with Jesus. I have to place a treasure and a premium on my salvation. Today, last week, what can we give in exchange for our soul? It's so important this afternoon. Stop seeing things so naturally and carnally minded. It's time for us to see things through the eyes of Christ. When we look through the eyes of Christ, then we will finally stop missing it. Delegates.